I want you to take your Bible and turn to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. And once you arrive at Leviticus 18, I'd like for you to find verse number 6. Leviticus 18, verse number 6. And then, would you stand with me, please? Leviticus 18, verse number 6. We are going to look at a good handful of verses. I suppose, you know, about 12 or 13 verses altogether. If you'll look at me, I'll tell you the title of this evening's sermon. It's called Separation from Pornography. We live in a day when that thing called pornography is everywhere and in abundance and easily accessible. And so tonight I want to talk to us about separation from it. Starting with Leviticus chapter 6, Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 6, I'm going to have you watch something. As I read through here, I want you to see how many times the word nakedness is used in these verses. Leviticus 18:6, it says, "None of you shall approach unto any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover it. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter and or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen, and it is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness." Now, if you'll look back at me, in between verse 6 and verse 19, the word nakedness is used 22 times. And if you were listening to it, you said, "Well, why didn't he just say, don't uncover anybody's nakedness?" That's what he's saying. That is what he's saying. But he's emphasizing it over and over and over and over and over again. Matter of fact, in this chapter, we only read verse 6 through 19. If we would have read the whole chapter, you would have found many, many, many more commands not to be uncovering and looking at the nakedness of another person. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Bless the sermon. Help it to help somebody, please. Holy Spirit of God, take the sermon and get glory to thyself. And help us to be pure in mind, in body. And help us to do right in regard to this issue of pornography. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. If you'll remember the last couple of weeks, our Wednesday night sermon has been on these two subjects. One week I talked about separation from adultery. And then the next week I talked about separation from fornication. Tonight I'm going to talk about this thing of separation from pornography, and that because one of the great contributors to adultery in this day and age and one of the great contributors to fornication in this day and age has something to do with this thing called pornography. I'm going to give you some statistics and things to start out tonight. I'm going to teach you some things and tell you some things from the Bible in just a moment. But if there is, they talk about in America right now, the opioid crisis. There's another word, epidemic, and that's the word. I think there is an epidemic of pornography in America. The word pornography comes from two words. Porno, which that means harlot, prostitute. Attached to that is a behavior of the harlot or the prostitute, and that means adultery, fornication, or lust. So if you take the prefix or the first half of the word porno, it means a harlot, a prostitute, committing adultery, fornication, or creating lust. The last part of the word, pornography, is graphi. The word graphi is writings or printings or images. So you have pornography's definition would be writings or paintings about whores, harlots, prostitutes, whether they're male or female, and it includes the committing of adultery and fornication. That kind of defines what pornography is, and that is a pretty good definition. Pornography would have started in regard to writing about them, and then the illustrations and images. As our society progressed, the images and the pictures progressed. I'm sure there were pictures of nudity all the way back when they would scribble on a piece of maybe carcass like a piece of paper. But today, those images can be digital and there's advanced technology for sin today. But pornography, it's pictures and images and writings about adultery, fornication, and lust and nudity. And might I add, it's a tool of the devil. The revenue, let me talk to you about the revenue or the kind of money that is being earned through this filthy industry. They say that last year $57 billion were earned in the pornography industry. $13 billion of it was earned right here in the United States of America. They say there's 4.2 million pornographic websites available. Now, this is really sad. The children and the statistics in regard to children getting on the internet and finding pornography, they say the average age for a child's first internet exposure to pornography is now 8. Now, we know that that has come about because of the easy access due to the internet. It used to be that if someone many, many years ago wanted to get pornography, they would have to walk inside a building that was an adult bookstore, and they would have to go in and purchase something. Now, it's on their telephone right now. They were looking at it today, earlier. And so the access is incredible. The largest consumer of internet pornography is people in the age bracket of 12 to 17. The percentage of 8 to 16-year-olds having viewed pornography online, they say, is 90%. And let me tell you something. If you say, I'm not one of them, then you keep yourself as the 10% that's not gotten involved in it. Yes. Let me tell you some adult internet statistics about pornography. They say U.S. adults who regularly visit the internet are at the number of 48 million. This statistic just shocked me, and I just looked it up yesterday. There are 28,258 people watching porn every second of every day. You understand how many people are locked on to it? And so you all understand, I've counseled and helped a lot of people through the years. Heroin is addictive. Cigarettes are addictive. Pornography may be one of the most, the strongest physical addictions. It's very strong because of the passion and the lust that is a part of the nature of man. They say A lot of times people would assume that this is just all men looking at pornography, and that's not true. Women favor chat rooms two times more than men because they like the verbal communication. The pictures are not as enticing to a woman, but the verbal communication and virtually the dirty talk they like. One out of three visitors to those websites are women. The Wi-Fi has revolutionized this, as we all know. You don't have to be in a building. You could be out in the middle of a field and have access to the internet, and therefore having access to websites that are full of pornography. There are different types of pornographic materials. There are magazines. There are novels. There's actually something they call animal porn. It would be what is deemed bestiality. There is DVDs and there is TV porn. On your television, you can buy channels that are pornography channels, and it comes right into your home. It used to be that you would go to a hotel, and at some hotel, you could pay money to have this filthy channel opened up in your hotel room. But I'll tell you what, you can get it right at your home now. There's teleporn, and that's where people can make telephone calls and have a conversation with someone about physical sexual relationship. There's a thing they call kiddie porn. It has to do with minors, and there's cyber porn. There's a thing called snuff porn, and that is one of the most violent of the pornographies. It's where people are actually put to death and brutalized physically as a part of the pornography. Now, what are the characteristics of this thing called pornography? Well, it includes vulgar language, filthy talk, cursing, I call it sewer talk. Obscene violence is often a part of it. Let me make something very clear. If you watch television and you watch a lot of DVDs or streaming from your internet, and you know you don't have to watch TV anymore, you can pretty well kind of watch, I don't know what they call it, but you can watch TV through your computer. You'll see all over the television there are rapes. So let me make something very clear: rape is not fun. And that when the television depicts it in a certain way, it's far worse than they could ever depict it. It's not an invited thing. And they say that 88% of pornography scenes include physical aggression toward the other person that's not appropriate. What are the characteristics of pornography? Well, I think it's the abuse of people. And I will tell you this, after getting involved in pornography, you'll begin to lose a certain amount of your self-respect and your dignity. And may I say also, not only will you lose some self-respect and dignity for yourself, you will lose self-respect and dignity for other people, the human race. You degrade the object of your entertainment. In pornography, you'll see the ridicule of pure spirituality and pure religion. In pornography, they tell jokes about religion, you know, kind of like we might tell a redneck joke or a blonde joke. In pornography, pure religion is what they poke at. And it mocks God. They make preachers in their films seem like the perverts, and there's an attack on the family and on the marriage and on the church. There's pornography out there that depicts priests with little boys. And let me tell you this. If you're an adult and you have a physical desire for children, first of all, stop. But if you do, stay away from our churches and schools. You dead sure are not needed in those situations. Pornography promotes crime and it produces crime. The news is full of sex crime. 77% of child molesters who molest boys say they were reproducing a scene that they'd seen in a pornographic demonstration. 87% of those that molest girls say the same. 57% of rapists say they got the idea from pornography or off of the television. Now, pornography distorts and belittles women. And my opinion, and I think the Bible's teaching, a woman is to be treated with respect and with dignity. She's not to be checked out from top to bottom. And if you're not married to her, you need to keep your hands and your eyes off of her. A woman is not a sex object, and a woman's body is to be holy and seen by her husband and touched by her husband. husband should see his wife's body and his wife's body only. You say, well, I'm not married. Then I guess you need to wait. Women are not to be used as promotional items for perversion. And might I recommend then, ladies, don't advertise yourself. Keep yourself covered modestly. But men, you ought to be moral whether a woman chooses to be modest or not. Pornography teaches lust. It does not teach love. It never teaches about good marriages. It never teaches about wholesome homes. It never teaches about obedient, good, kind children. It never teaches about virginity, chastity. It never teaches about self-control or purity or holiness. That's not the cause of pornography. Pornography is all about out-of-control lust, physical lust, and do what I want, please myself. They want to call it lovemaking, and just so you understand, that is the wrong term completely. It's lust making. It is not lovemaking. It's lust of the flesh. See, lust is selfish, and love is unselfish. Pornography, it's everywhere. It's available on television. It's available in books. Not just in picture books. Pornography does not have to have a picture of nudity. It can take words and develop mental pictures using words only. They're developed on the screen of your mind. Pornography's on our telephones. It's in video games. And I would say again, there are things on video games that are filthy. And not everything, you say, well, it's just a game. Well, the devil would like to make us believe that this kind of sexual impropriety is a game. But it's on video games. There are clothing catalogs that are pornographic. I think it's a part of music. It's all over the internet. There are now virtual reality sex experiences that are available. And so what are the characteristics? Now, pornography promotes perversion, including sex tortures, mutilations, rapes, incest, lesbianism, sodomy of all sorts, bestiality. You know that they even are as corrupt to go as far as being intimate with dead bodies. What in the world has our nation come to? What is wrong with our nation? Oh, I realize there has been sexual impropriety all the way back in history, but it is at an epidemic stage in our country. Pornography produces all sorts of problems for our society: venereal disease, divorce, adultery, fornication, again, sodomy, rape, homeless children, crime, kidnapping. If you listen to the President of the United States, he almost every week at some point will talk about the human trafficking that is taking place in our country. That's not because they're trying to kidnap someone and bring them in or out of the country so they can go in a field somewhere and just, pick peas or carrots or whatever they pick. Most of the time it has to do with they're being sold into sex slave situations. All the diseases are a part of the problems that pornography can bring on a society. And I would warn everybody in here, there are people in here, if you're not careful, you will ruin your spiritual influence because of this thing called pornography. And here's the sad thing. I think then if you ruin yourself, God had intended for you to have a ministry of reaching and helping people. And when you ruin yourself, there's a chain reaction of all the people that should have been helped and reached by you that will not get the help that they needed because you succumbed to this temptation that's called pornography. I could give you one good reason why, if you're dabbling in pornography, if you're hooked on pornography, or you're considering pornography, that you should not get involved or you should quit. You say, what is that one reason? Others. You're to reach somebody. And you may never reach them because of this sin taking hold in your life. And so there are problems. I've named them: venereal disease, divorce, adultery, fornication, sodomy, rape, homeless children, crime, kidnapping, human trafficking, the diseases, the abuse of husbands with wives or wives with husbands. I'd have to tell you that they always pick music that well fits the sin, and I would say rock and roll and country music tend to appease and please the flesh. It turns on a fleshly part of people, and that's some of the music that is very, very involved in pornography. You'll never hear some in some pornographic scene, you'll never hear someone filled with the Holy Spirit singing Amazing Grace. They go for the music that appeals to the fleshly nature. Makes sense. Now that I have your attention, which I do, let me tell you some things about it from the Bible. Now, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Well, first of all, a moment ago, I read to you from Leviticus chapter 18. And understand, as you're reading through Leviticus 18 over and over and over and over again, God says, don't uncover people's nakedness. Don't be looking at people's nakedness. Now, I don't have time to do it. If you missed the Bible study that we did on separation from nakedness many weeks ago, the Bible deems what nakedness is. It is not the total unclothing of the body. I'm not going to revisit that. But I am going to tell you that the Bible does have something to say about this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 22, it says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know what the word flee means? Run. Race. I used the word flee and helped to define it, I think, in last week's lesson. The Bible talks about fleeing from a bear and fleeing from a lion. You should flee from pornography as if it were a poisonous snake about to bite you. You say, but a snake could kill me. You don't think that this could kill you? Run. Escape it. A Bible term. Sanctify yourself. What does that mean? Set yourself apart. Don't become a part of it. So the Bible says that we should flee this thing. Secondly, I think it would be very wise for you to understand there is a spiritual war that's taking place. And I think pornography is a big part of the spiritual war in America. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11, it says this, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. I think there is a battle for the souls of men that's taking place in our country. I think the devil wants to take everybody to hell that he can, and I think he wants to dilute the morality of our country. It'll be rare that you'll hear any preacher stand up and preach and talk about pornography, let alone preach a whole 45, 50, 60, 70, 80, or 90-minute sermon on it. It's almost unheard of. But I believe there's a war for the souls of men. I think there's a war in America, and the devil has declared war on marriage. There's no doubt about it. The devil has declared war on the family. The devil has, and I think the devil has declared war on purity and morality and virginity. And the devil has declared war on the church. And I'll tell you something. I think the devil knows what he's doing. The devil would like to infiltrate the church with things like pornography so it dilutes the power of the people that could help to turn our country back to God. It's war. The Bible says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. It's warring against those things of true value. So, the Bible says, number one, we are to flee. The Bible says, number two, that we need to understand this is war. It is not a game. It is war. And the devil plays for keeps. Number three, I believe that the lustful concept, the sin of pornography, I do believe that it will bring punishment. In James chapter 1, verse number 15, the Bible says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So, I believe that pornography is just a massive evil bomb of lust that goes off in one's mind and heart, and God said eventually that'll bring death. You say, you think that death could come my way because I'm involved in pornography? Well, let me tell you this. There's death to one's purity. There's death to marriages. Death to dreams. And I do think physical death. Yes, I do believe that. I do believe that there are people who will die as a result of not repenting and not getting away from pornography. It brings death to relationships. So, there is a punishment that is attached to that sexual sin. Now, let me say next, I think number four, I think God tells us to guard our eyes. Guard your eyes. Guard your eyes for God. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 28, it says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Now God is saying, don't look. Don't look. Recently, I was in a situation where I was fearful that I was going to end up looking at something that I didn't want to look at. So I made sure I looked away. I didn't want my eyes to see it. Now some, their eyes are just searching, hoping to see it. God says, He says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman, lust after her, looketh." He didn't even talk about touching. Now let me tell you something. If God is saying your look is akin to adultery, then I'm going to guess if just a look is that bad, all the other stuff is really bad. This is, some people say, well, it's okay if I look at pornography and it does not lead to me physically committing a sexual sin, it's okay. That's not what that verse teaches. That verse teaches to look is wrong. You say, well, what's the problem? Well, let me explain something to you. If you don't look, then we don't have to worry about it. So don't look. It's a little bit like gossip. I think if you're a gossip, you ought to shut your trap. But I could help. If you wouldn't give them an ear, nobody would have anyone to talk to. And if we wouldn't look, then what's the use of the pornography? They're not lookers. And so there are people then, though, that look. And this is, and I, someone once said, well, I mean, the Bible, it says that if you've looked at her, you've committed adultery with her already in the heart. Why not go ahead and just commit the adultery, you knucklehead? You really think God is saying it's okay to go ahead and do it? That is not what He is saying. That is not what He is teaching at all. He was hoping that you had more spiritual common sense than that. There is a difference in thinking it and doing it. You say, well, I don't think so. Then you better never think about killing somebody. There is a difference in thinking about it and doing it. If somebody was thinking about punching you in the nose, but all they did was think about it, I think you're a touch better off, aren't you? Or would you say, well, you've been thinking about punching me in the nose, you might as well go ahead and do it. Come on. It's a mind adultery. It's mind fornication. And I would like to warn you, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Which is a concept that says you fill yourself with the wrong thing, it won't stay inside you, it will come out. Whatever you put in your mind in abundance you will eventually respond to it. So you say, I'm watching and I'm involved in all sorts of pornography and nobody knows and it's not affecting me in any way. I would like to add this word into your presentation. Yet. Because it's coming out sooner or later. You say, I got it under control. That is the first proof that you don't. That's what the devil wants you to say. I got it. If you got it under control, why don't you stop it? Why is it you go back to it like a drug addict goes back to their drugs? You put it aside for a little while, but you run back to it. Oh, I'm not going to look at it anymore. And then you're right back to it. You don't have it under control. It has you under control. So, guard your eyes. Number five. Realize God may retract Himself from helping you if you don't repent. I'm going to read a verse to you. Romans chapter 1, verse 24, 25, 26, and 27. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up. That's the second time He said He gave them up. Unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was to meet. Now, what God is saying here is, He tries to get you to turn away, and He tries to get you to turn away, and there is a strength that is available to turn away, and if you push Him away long enough, He'll say, okay, fine. Now that doesn't mean if you're saved that you have lost your salvation. You remember what it means is, you remember back when you used to look at the bad pictures and you used to look at the pornography and you felt bad about it? Remember how bad you felt about it? Then after a while you didn't feel as bad. And now you could say, maybe through a service like this, and say, I can't wait till this is over with. Somebody. Yeah, maybe in radio land or even somebody in this congregation before the night's out. It doesn't matter what I say. You'll go look at it again. It doesn't bother you anymore. You're calloused. You're retracted from emotional and spiritual responsibility. And God said, look, you push me away and you push me away. I don't necessarily have to bring conviction to you. Do you know if God makes you feel bad about it, that's real good. That's a good sign. You ought to thank God for that. If you're here tonight and you're saying, I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable right now. Good. That's a good sign. That means that God's still working in your heart. If you're sitting there and you're involved in it and this doesn't bother you a lick, I'm not sure I want to ride home with you. That's a dangerous situation to be in if you've rejected God long enough that God's saying, I can't get through to Him. Maybe the devil can. It's not a loss of salvation that He's saying here. He says you're going to retract yourself from the conviction. And then there is no self-restraint. And in all reality, it says you'll go into more perverse, wicked, unnatural, filthy, vile sin. And you just plummet into it to the point that you become a pervert. Now, what should we do? What should you do? Let me give you a couple real quick points and we'll be done. You need to realize that nobody starts out as an addict in regard to pornography. You say, how do they start out? Just a little here and a little there. Just a little bit. Well, is that where you're at? Just a little bit? You know what? A little bit is where all porn addicts started. So I'd be careful. If there's not a little bit, then there won't be a lot of it. So, realize nobody starts out headlong into it. They all, y'all know the word dabble. Is that just my mom's word, dabble? Don't dabble. Next, if you have controlled your lust thus far and you've not gotten involved in pornography, can I recommend that you continue to control your lust and control your mind and you never go there? Never go there. To some of you, a message like this, I hope that I hope it just disgusts you, just the thought of the whole thing. I wish you would think that way. Just, hey, the Bible says flee youthful lusts. So, young people, if you've never gotten involved in this, don't. Don't. It's dangerous. It's consuming. It's controlling. People stronger than you have been overtaken by the monster of this sin. So, realize it starts little. If you've not gotten involved, run from it. Then, if you have allowed lust to roam in the corridors of your heart and mind, what I'd do is I'd declare war on it. Look, you've already looked at it. There's nothing we can do about what you have looked at. But we can do this. We can stop it now. You say, well, what would you do if you had a problem with this? I think I'd memorize every scripture that I could on the topic of lust, self-control, and holiness. You say, why? Because the Bible teaches you overcome evil, and pornography is evil. You overcome evil with good. So you have pumped a whole bunch of trash in your mind. What do you do about it? Well, you overcome trash with purity. Say, what's pure? The Word of God is pure. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You say, I have looked at pornography by the hours. Now what do I do? Read your Bible by the hours. Read until you've read more Bible and memorized more Bible than you have looked at pornography, and recapture your mind. Hey, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if there's bad in there, it'll come out. But if there's good in there, you've got a chance. I would memorize every scripture and read every scripture I could that refuted the weakness of lust, adultery, fornication, and the filth that I'd put into my mind. So, what should I do? Realize, starts out small. It does for everybody. But it grows into a monster quickly. Realize, hey, if you've never gotten into it, don't go there. It's way too powerful. Don't play with it. If you have filled your brain with it, start memorizing Scripture and reading the Bible to refute that nasty monster that you have inside your brain. Then if you need to, go get some help. Go get help. See your pastor. Let him help you. See your parents. Let them help you. If you want to go to see a therapist, go. But don't self-destruct. Do not self-destruct. Your life is valuable. Get help if you need help. I would recommend this. If you have in your possession, or if you have access to anything that is related to pornography, I would destroy it immediately. Did you know that a sermon like this can energize you? You say, energize? It scares me. Okay, I consider that some energy. Scared people run fast. You walk out of here tonight and you're under conviction and you feel bad and you say, whew, boy, I've just not faced anything like that. I'd like to scare you to go home and throw away any books or letters or catalogs or video games. I'd like to have you get a hold of whoever you have your cable or internet with and make sure that there is no access to it so you can get it under control. If you have association with anything that is pornographic, you need to get rid of it. Throw it away. Trash it. Burn it. And as soon as possible. The pinch of a sermon like this will wear off if you delay. Better do it while you're still feeling the hurt. Or you'll justify going back to it again. And you'll hope that I don't preach on it for 2 or 3 years again. But I might. I might preach on it again on Sunday. Let me recommend that you don't associate with people that are involved in pornography. Hey, listen, if you have friends and they're involved in pornography, I think we ought to love a friend, but I think you need to separate from them so you don't get involved in it. You say, but wonder if it's family. Well, you can't run off and leave all your family. I don't think that's the answer, but I would tell you this. I think you shouldn't be looking at computers or phones in your home that has any of that trash on it. I think you ought to pray for them. I think if they know that you know, I think there ought to be an offer to help them get help. I think that there are homes that need to get a porn blocking software put on your computer so it can't come into your home. And some of you who are adults, you're not worried about your child, you're worried about you getting to it. You ought to get the porn blocking software on your computer so you can't get to it. And some of you young people will despise me for this, but if my child was looking at pornography on their phone, they would not have a phone anymore. I would take it. Because I'm still the father. I'm in charge of my household. I know that sounds strong, but if you had grown up where I grew up, you would then understand strong. And you say, well, that's mean. I'll tell you what's mean. Pornography will dice your child to shreds. That's mean. If I were you, if you have an issue with this, I'd beg God to help you develop the mind of Christ, because the Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You're to think the way Jesus thinks, and I'll guarantee you, not an ounce of pornographic thinking in the mind of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Job chapter 31, verse number 1, it says, I made in covenant with mine eyes that I should not think upon a maid. That's an interesting verse. Some of you need to make an agreement with your eyes that you're not going to look at things that are wrong and lustful. But notice how it was worded. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Job, when this was written, he was having a conversation with himself. And he said, I said to me, this is how it's going to be. There's some of you, you need to have a good stern talk with yourself. If you're involved in this, you need to fess up to yourself that you're doing wrong. It's got to stop. And then you need to help you. And you need to say, that's it. And notice it said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? What's being said is, what I looked at, I thought about. So the issue here is not just the picture that you saw at the moment. You can turn the picture off, but you can think about the picture after the picture's off. Now that is on the video screen and in a computer memory bank of your brain. Don't do that to yourself. You need to decide not to look at anything pornographic. And you need to make sure that you get it out of your life and get away from it as far as you possibly can. Tonight, the lesson is separation from pornography. I hope that if you are struggling with it, that you'll start a war. Protect yourself. Do the right thing. And let me tell you that you say, this thing is so strong. It's not stronger than Jesus Christ. It's not stronger than the Word of God. You can overcome. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us so. But you got to let Him help.